Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
Exciting. Thank you, Jenny. All right. Okay. So I am just a little bit nervous. I'm used to having a big fat piano in front of me, and now there's just you all. So, okay. But I do want to start by just saying what an incredible honor and privilege it is to be able to speak to you today. Many of you have known me since I was about 10 years old, running around this sanctuary after the service, and it is truly humbling now to be here looking at you all and just getting to share what the Lord has done in me, and I'm excited. So, let us begin. I titled this message, Who is Your God? Now, I'm not implying that there is more than one God, but rather, who have you made God out to be? Because if we don't actively form our understanding of God based on His word, we will unwittingly form it from our understanding of Him based on this life. Praying and expecting things from the ground of that experience, which falls so short of who He is and who He's ready to be for you. So, the science of understanding is that we learn by experience. Joshua, stay with me. Thank you. Awesome. You're the best. We understand things by our experience. Our perception filters how we take in the world. So basically, your experience shapes your understanding. I will give you an example. My dear sweet four-year-old doesn't get a Freezy for breakfast, and then spends the rest of the walk to school crying about how this isn't the best day ever. The experience, and then the reality. He experienced something he didn't like, and now this has changed how he is living this day. A more serious example, a teenage girl isn't loved by her father and learns that she has no self-worth. The experience and the reality. It's a very powerful thing. So while my experiences, for better or for worse, shape my understanding of life, they should not shape my understanding of God. Because God is not subjective, and He does not exist based on my personal beliefs or feelings. His character transcends this earth and does not change with the seasons, the fads, or by what is deemed culturally appropriate at any given time. So the only way we can ever really know God or who He is by divine revelation from Him. This is pretty obvious. But contrary to what popular renditions of hearing from God will look like, this is not going to happen from a booming voice of thunder. It's going to come from here, from His holy word, from His Holy Spirit speaking to us. So my question today being, who is your God? You can ask yourself, who do you believe Him to be? And does your life demonstrate what the Bible says about Him? And I want to use Psalm 103 today to help us through some of these questions. So, if you will follow along with me, if you have your Bibles, we're only going to be in Psalm 103 today. I'm not jumping around. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made his way known to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All right, Lord, would you come into this place? You're already here. We have come gathered in your name, and you are faithful to come and dwell among us. And we thank you for your presence in this place, and we ask for your word to speak, for your voice to be heard, Lord Jesus, and for you to do what only you can do in this place this morning. Amen. All right. I chose this psalm because it's hard for me. When I saw the verse, "Forget none of his benefits," it stung in my heart. Because as many of you know, my late husband, Jeff, and I grew up in this church. And when the cancer diagnosis came, you all fought hard with us to stand against it. And we prayed and we sought and we rallied our faith and left no stone unturned. But by all earthly accounts, it wasn't enough. And we have had to live these last 3.5 years and the rest of our lives without him. So I knew that I needed to dig into this psalm and to preach to myself in this area where there's a seed of bitterness in an attempt to release the Spirit of God over my shortcomings of faith and in hopes over any you might have as well. See, when I read this psalm, I read the God I believe in, but not the God I have experienced. My heart beats simultaneously with excitement and disappointment. Excitement at what my spirit knows to be true, and disappointment at what I have lived through. So my question today, who is your God? Who is the God you believe in and pray to? Is he this God, this Psalm 103 God, or is he the God your experiences have shaped him out to be? So, I have sat through many sermons in my life, and I know they do this whole three-point thing. So I have done the same for your ease of following. I'm not doing the whiteboard. I do that at work every day, Deborah. So, number one, do you believe God is compassionate, that he sees your need, that he knows the desires of your heart, that he has good things for you, and he wants to say yes to you? The God I read about in this psalm explicitly states that he is compassionate towards me. Next one, Joshua. Super duper. Awesome. So these are the things that Psalm 103 says. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. So great is his loving kindness towards those who believe in him. He's removed our transgressions from us. Everything we don't deserve, he has done for us. But the God my experiences shape looks more like this. God, how could you let this happen? God, where were you when I needed you? God is punishing me for my actions. Or how can a loving God, and you fill in the rest. You will notice that one of these centers on him and the other centers on us. And so, do you see how easily our experiences can shape our understanding of God? The questions on the right, are unanswerable because the questions themselves are not in line with his character at all. And yet, I did not have to do a Google search for this content. They are all things I have thought and prayed throughout my life. I think we daily live in unawareness of his vast, unbridled kindness and compassion towards us. If you think about the needs that you hear about in a week, a coworker whose marriage is falling apart, a family member whose child is struggling with depression, even when you're just sitting alone at the end of the day wondering how that thing is going to turn out, are you aware of God's intimate knowledge, compassion, and grace for each of these situations? Or how quickly do our thoughts and prayers begin to sound like this column on the right? We are just like the disciples waking Jesus from his sleep in the midst of the stormy sea, panicking at the size of the waves, saying, "Lord, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing?" We don't see him moving, and then we pray as though he doesn't care or isn't aware. And this could not be further from the case. Jesus never answers the disciples' question. I think that's because his primary concern is not the situation we're in, it's our heart. And that's what he's always been after. So when I wonder where he is in the face of my hardship, it shows my lack of awareness, not his. It reveals the misgivings in my trust in him, not his. It shows my indifference to his great and everlasting love towards me. So what do we do in this place? Because the times will come. And in all likelihood, you're actually probably in something right now that you need the Lord to show up for. We need to ask ourselves a different question. Lord, do I believe that you care? Do I really believe it? Don't dismiss questioning yourself in that. Because the picture painted by my prayer, "Lord, Lord, don't you care?" is one where God is standing over me, watching me struggle just to keep my head above water. And none of us actually believe that, right? So why do we pray like that? Do you believe you're on his watch, that what concerns you concerns him? Do you believe that an answer is possible, that it could turn out better than you even ask or imagine? There is a foundational answer to these questions and a felt answer, what my emotions are telling me. And the felt answer often has more sway in our lives than the foundational one. We cannot let our understanding of God be rooted in what it feels like. That changes from day to day. We must fix our eyes on the foundational answer to each of these questions, which is a resounding yes. A yes that is grounded in truth, rooted in scripture, and anchored in longevity from everlasting to everlasting. This is what I need to believe about my God, and this needs to be the perspective through which I decide what action to take in my daily life. So when you think about the colleague or your family member or the decision you've got to make at work or with your kids, remind yourself that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. He himself knows your frame. He is mindful that you are but dust, and yet he ripped open the heavens and came down to meet you. All right. Number dos. Spanish. Do you believe he is sovereign over all? Past, present, future. That he has it all in the palm of his hand. That the kingdom of God is greater than the kings and kingdoms, the authorities, the logic, the rationale, the understanding of this earth. See, the God I read about says that his loving kindness is from everlasting to everlasting, and his righteousness to his children's children. And that the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Joshua. Awesome. But the God my experiences shape makes me think that everything happens for a reason, so I might as well just accept it. Tragedy doesn't play favorites. I didn't have enough faith. I didn't do enough. I'm not spiritual enough. Miracles only happen in those big churches by those famous pastors. You laugh because it's true. Well, not that that statement is true. It's true that we think that. Do you see how easily our experiences shape our belief about how God works? We all know of needs around us. Couples wanting to get pregnant, or relationships in need of restoration, or bodies in need of healing. And God is sovereign over all of these things. His sovereignty rules over all. And yet, when tragedy strikes, we pray for comfort when we should be praying for boldness. We pray for peace when we should be pushing for healing. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to pray for peace, because many of you have prayed for peace on my behalf, and I don't know where I would be without it. But I have found in my own prayer life that it is a lot easier to pray and believe for peace for someone than it is to pray and believe for healing for someone. I'm not going out on any limb when I pray for peace over a given situation. For example, I might pray for peace for a person I know, a parent who is going through a custody battle over their kids, and that is good. Peace will be the thing that carries them through from moment to moment. But don't stop there, because aligning yourself with God means taking these things to him and asking what he says over it. He is sovereign over all. 1 Corinthians says that we've been given the mind of Christ. Are we thinking with it? Are we praying from the mindset that operates from a place of sovereignty, from the provision of the storehouses of heaven made available to us? When we pray in this way, that's when I believe we're going to see restoration of broken things and healing over mental health and divine provision for impossible needs. Who knows what the Lord can do when we begin to operate out of his sovereignty? The marriage could be restored. It wouldn't happen in the natural, but who knows? The lawyer handling the case could be saved. Not likely, but with God, who knows? I didn't mean for that to be funny. The kids could be blessed. All odds point otherwise. But the Lord's throne is established. It is not shifting with the uncertainty of the times. He knows no limit. He has made covenant with us, and he wants to do so much more in our desert places than simply soothe us through it. But it is hard, because those things take risk. They take vulnerability. It means you really have to go to that place and stand on the ground and say, God, I believe your intentions for this, knowing full well that it could not happen on its own. And it may hit a nerve with you. It certainly does for me. How can I have faith for healing for someone else and expect it from God when I didn't get it, when I desperately needed it for me and for my kids? It's not a switch you can just turn on. I have had to go to that tender ground in prayer and acknowledge it to myself and to God, saying, I don't know if I believe you will do this, but the most I can muster up is that I believe you want to, and align my heart with that desire. And if that's all you have to give in that moment, he will take it. And I thank God for the mustard seed of faith, because honestly, in my brokenness, that is all I have had at times. But the mustard seed of faith can move mountains. And the mustard seed sown in obedience can become a tree so great that all the birds come to rest in its branches. And that's what I want for my life. That's what I want more than anything else. So I will be obedient to who I know God to be, because his word tells me it is so, and that's the truth I've chosen to build my house on, nothing less and nothing short. Okay, number three. I am just zipping along. This is great. All right. The kicker, do you believe he will act according to your need, according to your prayer? The God I read about commands me to forget none of his benefits, to bless him, to remember that he satisfies my years with good things. But the God my experiences shape leaves me with something like, I tried believing. I really tried and nothing happened. God let me down. I don't know if I can take the risk to believe again. He didn't show up when I needed him most. Nothing's going to change whether I pray or not, or my personal favorite. I'm just going to put that need in a box and tuck it away, because it's too hard to go there right now. In all honesty, it's not an emotionless thing to go to God with these needs. Do you see how our experiences shape our expectations of what God will do? My experience has changed what I expect from God, and I don't expect like I used to. But God is rebuilding that in me. And it's ground I'm fighting for and gaining, and days it feels like it's one inch at a time. But I'm not going to let my experiences shape my understanding, my prayer life, or my expectations of God. My faith in who God is greater than what I have experienced. We must remind ourselves of the great privilege we have in partnering with God to bring change to the situations we encounter. He designed us to be the manifestors of his work. That means that when you hear of a terrible thing that happened, you are now responsible to pray over it. You are. God did not lead you to that situation so that you could say, oh, that's too bad, I'm so sorry for you, and just leave it at that. Furthermore, I dare not think that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was to save us once and then have nothing to do with us for the rest of our lives. He was and is the teacher, and teachers teach you to do something. I hope, at least. They should. They should be teaching you to do something. And what things are we to do that the Lord has given us? Jesus says in John 14, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. But we are not. We're not doing them. And I honestly think that that is evidence of letting our experiences shape our expectation of God. We are at a critical point where we need to actively refuse bringing God down to our level of understanding. Instead, we must actively choose to set our sights higher and, by faith, bring our understanding up to His level and accept nothing less. And this psalm urges me to do that, to wake up to the things of heaven. So, the new question I need to ask myself is, Lord, show me where the yes is. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. There is always a yes. This is when I think about my kids. No matter what they ask me for, they are always, always hoping for my yes. And not only hoping for it, they're like expecting me to say yes, no matter the ridiculousness of the request, like a freezy for breakfast. But we lose that. We become adults, and we expect the answer to be no more often than yes. But the Word of God commands you, forget not any of the benefits that come with being a child of God. The psalm says that He crowns us with loving kindness and compassion. Crowns are for royalty. We are royals in the very center of God's loving kindness and compassion. That is not a helpless position. That is one where we have authority. We have options. It is not a meager place to be. We need to ask and start expecting answers to flood the hopeless situations we encounter, because His heart, His compassion, His goodness is there, and it is up to His church to be the delivery system by which these things come. The good news He has given to us to give to the world. But are you okay with letting go of what that looks like? Because I can guarantee you it almost always won't look like what you thought it should. But that doesn't mean the answer's not already on its way. So this psalm actually leads us through this progression of taking a hard look of who you believe God to be, how to seek Him, and where we can expect Him to move. You might say, well, I believe, but I don't expect it. And I say this from a testimony of grace that I have not achieved or even live in fully. Start expecting. It's time to take the risk. And I say this to myself from having taken the risk and being utterly broken and brutally disappointed. That's why this psalm hurts. That's why it stings. But if I just leave it there, that's all it will ever be. And I will be the one putting limits on what God can do. I will be the one closing the door, not Him. I will be the one missing out, living a life of minor consequence and small significance. I will be the one praying to the God my experiences dictated, rather than the God who has proven Himself faithful and true across all time and made Himself known to me. Can we expect an answer? In light of all of this, how can we expect anything other? Jesus died for us for this lifetime, despite the fact that our lives are like grass. He died and suffered for you and for me, and He would have done it for only you and for only me even though my life is fleeting. Because the stakes of this life are too high. Your daily walk is too important for him to have delayed his work on your behalf. Why would he be withholding now? So, what do we do with all of this? It is time to take a look at what you believe, and how we can do that is by examining our hearts. Why don't you bow your heads, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. What are you needing an answer on? Where are you waiting for breakthrough? Where are things not lining up and not sitting right in your heart? Ask yourself and identify those things. These are the places that God never intended for you to handle apart from him. He has something for you in that place. There is a yes there. Ask him for it. And then bless the Lord there. Stand in it. Bless the Lord by reminding yourself of his compassion, his sovereignty, his plans to act. Some of you may get stuck somewhere in there, and that is okay. But do not stay there. Don't relegate God to the box of your experience. That is a really small place. Lord God, would you help us? Give us the vision to see better who you are when things go sideways. When the circumstances appear one way, would you remind us by your Spirit what everlasting truth says? And give us the grace to choose that. The truth that is not temporary. The truth that will outlive us all. We bless you, Lord. With all that is within us, we bless your holy name.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at ladnerlife.com. That's www.ladnerlife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.